Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest knows very well the real dangers that can lurk online. Former Garda Mick Moran and now CEO of Hotline.ie is with me today in studio. Mick, good afternoon. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. I suppose your background, first of all, like I don't want to say you're an expert in online child pornography, but that is really what you're dealing with day to day.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I have no qualms about saying or talking about, I wouldn't say child pornography, while that's a legal definition. We refer to it mostly as child sexual abuse material or child sexual exploitation material. The reason being that you're kind of saying it as it is. So you cannot have, and I'm doing inverted commas here, you cannot have child pornography unless you have the actual abuse of children and it's subsequently recorded.
It's a fair point, yeah.
And so we call it CSAM, or child sexual abuse material. So that's, yeah. And I am an expert in it. I can't deny that. I mean, I worked at Interpol for over 10 years, and I was at it here in the Guards before that. I started working online in 97 with An Garda Síochána, and was
when it was dial up and computers and no social media.
That was the really early days, yeah. And there was a lot of people out there who were kind of pure internet fans in those days. You know, we were using Usenet and, you know, news groups, IRC, things like that. And there were people out there who were really as shocked as I was to see how the networks were being abused. And that's the thing about the internet. Like, it started off as a kind of an academic thing. It started off as a very exciting, you know, communications technology. And it has morphed into this, you know, a reflection of real life, so that you have that whole yin and yang, that good and bad that goes on. And it is naive to think that it doesn't and hasn't affected every single thing. And it is in effect bigger, if you like, than the Industrial Revolution, this information revolution that we are currently living through. And it's all, I mean, even we see now President Trump coming on there now, and he's gone on all about censorship and everything else. It just touches everything. The internet just touches everything in our lives. And one aspect of that is child safety.
So earlier in the week, we were talking about children as young as 9 years of age getting access to mobile phones and you know, the likes of your iPhone and that we're basically handing them their own iPad effectively. Is it as bad as we imagine it is, what they're capable of seeing online?
Of course. It's actually worse than you think. It's actually 100 times worse than you think.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not here to knock the internet, and I'm not here to say, you know, I personally have had a lot of experience, and the analysts that work at Hotline have a lot of experience in dealing with the worst of what can be produced by human beings communicating it across the internet. And so it's important to remember that the internet is a communication tool. It does bring great good and value to kids. It helps in learning. It helps open their minds. It helps them communicate with people in the other cultures, other points of view. Absolutely. 100%. But then we deal with the downstream effects of perhaps naive or reckless parental decisions that give kids 24-hour access to the internet that is not supervised or spoken about in any way. And that is like letting your kid go down and run around the Lewis tracks.
That's what this equates to, is it?
It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Now, I know parents will be screaming at the radio when they're thinking, well, hang on, you know, Santi brought a phone over Christmas and, you know, my Johnny sits down in the evening and he plays whatever computer games. And yes, he interacts with a couple of kids as part of these, but we know who these kids are. But I suppose when mum and dad leave the sitting room.
Yeah, no, mum and dad think they know who the kids are, but unless they've had that conversation with little Johnny about how and who he communicates with, You know, our figures last year showed an increase in sexual extortion via, you know, in most cases via the vector of online gaming. Now, that sexual extortion targeted mostly boys and...
What age roughly, Mick?
9 to 14.
Right.
That's pure bell curve. It's a pure bell curve. When we look at the kids, it's mostly preteen kids, and you know, at a point in their lives when they should be slowly learning things about sex, slowly learning things about sexuality, slowly learning and developing as human beings, that when that whole frontal cortex is developing, kids need time and they need to be gently led into it. They do not need to be dropped into it. And unfortunately, the availability of online pornography, you can be, you know, sex positive but porn critical. That's a line I heard from an academic recently. You know, pornography is a really, is, you know, it's insidious, it's rough. When you get out to the extremes and bestiality, child abuse material, violent pornography, your kids are looking at this 9 years of age. Their natural curiosity, the peer pressure will drive them to this.
Because the access to the online games and the chatting to somebody in wherever it is they're playing the same game as you, or maybe they're only across the road, but it evolves beyond that.
Maybe they're only across the road, but maybe they're in a barrio in Brazil, or a really rough part of New York, or in downtown St. Petersburg in Russia. You don't know that, and as a parent, unless you've had the chat with your kid, you can't protect them from this. If they want to play Fortnite, then you have the other question about whether they should be playing games that are over 18s. But you also have the whole issue of who they are meeting there. And if they are playing, if they're 9 years of age and they're playing an over-18s game, they're meeting over-18s playing those games.
Or impersonating the same nine-year-old.
Correct. So that's another, obviously another vector and a strategy that's put in place by people with a sexual interest in children, of course.
So from the parental controls and the safeguarding, because I don't want to scare the life out of parents listening to this lunchtime, Mick, but parental controls and safeguarding measures that are there and, you know, available through the phone and on the social media apps, are they strong enough? Are they sufficient?
They are only sufficient if they are taken in conjunction with the chat you have and the hand holding that needs to happen. So, in other words, if you're 9 year old, and I'm picking 9 because we are seeing 9 year old victims of.
Yeah, well, let's be straight about it with people.
Yeah. So I'm saying 9 year olds. If you are, and most parents, and this is a sad fact, most parents don't even realise that there are parental controls on mobile phones. They don't even realise it because they don't bother. They are reckless. They give, and it is reckless activity, it's reckless parenting if you are giving your 9-year-old a child a phone out of the box. It's madness. There are parental controls on there. All the companies are obliged to have it. They all do. Some of them go further than others. Xboxes and PS4s or PS whatever it is now, they all have it. But you're allowing your kid to go in there. If you can set, I mean, even in parental controls in Xboxes, for example, you can set it that it won't play over 18 games because the games are classified. And you can set it so it doesn't play an over 18 game. Period. But if you're not paying attention to that, and it's very easy, it's quite intuitive and it's very easy to do, but if you're not paying attention to it, then in my humble opinion, as a parent myself, but also as someone, a professional, who has to deal with this downstream and deal with the results of your recklessness, you are being reckless as a parent. And the other important point to remember is that none of them are silver bullets. These are not, these parental controls, kids can get around them. They're cute enough to get around them. There's other ways. They go to their friend's house to play. You have to teach them like we learned the safe cross code years ago. You know, one look for the safe.
Yeah, remember that? Well,
we need a new song and maybe get George out of Wonderly Wagon to sing it. But we need a new song and a new way of thinking around the information superhighway, as it's called sometimes, right? It's the same as the highway outside the door here. All right, you wouldn't let your 9 year old walk to school unless you had taught them very carefully about how to cross the road. You look left and right, and when you're crossing the road, you cross straight away and you look left and right as you're crossing. You're constantly aware. Same thing on the internet. And you need to have that conversation with them. You need to be sure that your child will come to you when something makes them feel uncomfortable. I'm not saying that they get attacked or they get tricked or whatever. But if something is making them feel uncomfortable, they need to be able to speak to a responsible adult. And if you're the parent, you are the responsible adult, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. How easy is it to have the material removed then from the online sites, the Google and Meta? Like, I've had some, no, not at this level, I've had some experience of this myself around fake accounts and accounts trying to dupe people out of money. And so I'm aware of how difficult and how nasty and upsetting, you know, this can be for people.
Yeah.
And I'm acutely aware, Mick, of how actually bloody hard it is to get these taken down.
Well, there's the platform themselves, and this is where Commissioner na Man comes in. So Commissioner na Man is the regulator of internet services, and they come in there. So you're making a report to the platform primarily. So you tell the platform, hey, that's a fake account about me or whatever it is. And that's fine. That's point. That's step number one. Step number two is that you will talk to Commissioner na Man. You'll report it to them because they'll build a case against this outfit and punish, if you like, or get a case against them for not taking stuff down. Where it is intimate images and stuff like that, that's a different game of snowballs. And generally, the companies will take it down when they are properly informed. And that's where Hotline comes in. And you can report your intimate image abuse. You can report it to Hotline. There's stopintimateimageabuse.org is another one. We're hopefully putting up a project together now to do something similar here in Ireland. But it's to get that stuff taken down off the main platforms. It's handy enough when you know what you're doing. But step one, report it to the platform.
Well, it's not user friendly to complain.
No, it's not. Of course it's not. Because it's all about traffic and, you know, because in this information revolution that we're living in, it's all kind of ad driven, eyeballs driven. So the companies taking material down goes against their business model. Their business model is having material up there. And the more traffic that drives to it, the better for them. So if it's outrageous or if it causes
very
anger
or
if it's pornographic or whatever, then it's going to drive eyeballs. But again, you know, some of the companies, the likes of Facebook or Meta, they will have very strong policies in relation to pornography. So you won't find pornography on Facebook because they'll knock it down. Same with CSAM. Most of these companies have policies that are there. And when it goes against their terms and conditions, the companies should take it down. You should tell them your reasons for having it taken down, and you should tell Commissioner na Man. And if you can't, and if it is illegal or harmful, then you should talk to hotline.ie.
So, like, because we often come across things we don't like, and you know, you can click onto the link on Facebook and report it, and you put in the brief explainer, and sometimes they get back within 24 hours to say yes or no, or we don't deem this to be unsavoury content. So for a parent listening, they can do that via their Facebook and their Instagram. They can go the step further and get in contact with Commissioner na Man, or contact you guys at hotline.ie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Just on a final word, I know people with the 8 and the 9-year-old and the 10-year-old kids, you know, who got, it's not even the Xbox, what's the handheld version?
Switch.
Yeah, over Christmas. So
there are parental controls there.
Yeah.
Now, again, for the same reasons, the business reasons, the more people they have playing, the better. So they're not going to be encouraging you to do it. You have to be the responsible parent and you have to dig through the settings to find it. Okay? And it's unfortunate that you have to dig through the settings. My argument would be for something like a switch that it should be on by default, and as an adult, you go and switch it off. Right? But that's a conscious decision you're making. The conscious decision that you can make now for any of these gaming platforms, gaming consoles, for the internet itself, for all aspects, for all applications, you can go deep down into the settings and find the security settings, find the parental controls. They're there. You have to go digging for them. And that's your active, proactive, responsible parenting move, is to go in there and learn them. If you're
not bothered now.
Listen, if you wanted notifications, you'd know how to switch them on and
off,
right? So you have to want to look after your kid. You have to be active as a parent. So please, go in there, root around, you'll find them. And they're quite intuitive. Switch them on, put a good password on it so your kid can't get them off, and off you go.
Like, I know a lot of people are really obsessed with this idea of giving the kids the mobile phone, you know, and whether or not there's an appropriate age to do so. But I suppose if they're coming home after school and they're head stuck in the Switch or the Xbox, or they're playing whatever games they're playing, they're probably no different, Mick, are they?
Well, say for Internet Day is coming up now in February, right? Safer Internet Day is coming up in February, and we're part of the Safer Internet Centre along with the ISPCC and the National Parents Council and Webwise. Have a look at some of the stuff that's out there on Webwise and the ISPCC and even our website. Look, it's not always about sexual predators. It can also be about things like screen addiction, mental health issues around FOMO and FOLO, and all these things that especially teenage girls especially teenage girls get really badly affected by FOMO and FOLO. So you have to FOMO is fear of missing out.
Yeah.
FOLO is fear of being left out, right? And
that's more prevalent among the young girls, is it?
Yeah, that's more, and that's been shown in studies in the US anyway. And
yeah.
So we haven't had studies like that in Ireland, but you know, if we did, I can imagine it being the same.
Female, and is the sex exploitation? Sorry, Mick, is that more targeted typically at younger preteen boys?
Well, yes, through the gaming vector.
Right.
But girls are also... Look, the bottom line is kids. Let's talk about kids, right? Your bottom line is that giving a kid that has... And I've said it 100 times before, and it's a kind of a catchphrase of mine now, if you like. If you were giving your child 24-hour access to the internet, unfettered, unsupervised, you are giving the world 24-hour unfettered access to your child. And that's
well, you wouldn't leave them standing on Grafton Street for 24 hours.
No, you wouldn't. And you wouldn't. And the madness of allowing a 9 to 12 year old to lock themselves away in a bedroom when they're supposed to be going to bed with a full on 4G or Wi-Fi connection is bananas. It's bananas from a parenting perspective. Mm.
Do Hotline have a view on the age appropriateness of access to the gaming and mobiles?
We don't have a firm view. The age here in Ireland is 16, right? We are supporters of this whole Greystones model that's been happening, and it's a movement that's happening around the country. And if you're in a primary school, the bottom line is that at its core, this whole Greystones model is just all the schools in a town or a village get together.
It's a great idea.
And they decide, look, no smartphones before secondary school. Now, that is a huge step in the right direction. And I was involved with it myself out in Ashbourne and in Ashbourne and Garristown and out the North County Dublin and South County Meath. And it's going on. And it's a movement that's flowing around the country. And if you hear about it happening in your town or village, then go to the meetings. Listen to what's been said and realise that this is a force and a movement for good. And not giving your kid a smartphone. You can give them a dumb phone. You can still contact them. You can contact them by text. You can contact them by phone call. But do they really need access to Twitter and Instagram and TikTok? So do they really need... I mean, I listened to a thing there on an English radio station recently where they took the phones off the kids for a period of time, and all of the kids had positive experiences after it. They were all sleeping better. They were all communicating with their parents and their peers far better.
Mm.
If this is not as obvious as the nose on your face, well then, you know... Egypt's like me talking is not going to make any difference.
Well, you're definitely not that, Mick. It's been really, just really interesting and informative, I think, for people, you know, to hear your experience today. Mick Moran, CEO of Hotline.ie. Mick, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Thanks very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.